Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
And we sure would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. 844-322-2742 is the number you can call right now, toll-free in Canada and the United States. So take this opportunity and be a part of the program. Yes. If you have a problem situation that you want to discuss or a question about a particular Bible verse, we would love to help you out. Again, 844-322-2742. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper here, and this is Basic Gospel. Was reading through the Sermon on the Mount this morning and thought, Matthew chapter 6 really has some practical lessons for each and every one of us. So our question on the day is, what are you worried about? What is really disturbing your peace, disturbing your existence today? And are you willing to entrust that to the one who loved you and gave himself for you? Certainly Jesus recognizes that all of us are going to have anxious moments in life. All of us are going to be worried about certain things that come our way. But part of growing in grace, growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, is more readily entrusting those things into God's hands, realizing that he has all things in his control and that he will work it together for our good. So in this Sermon on the Mount, and Paul echoes this in his letter to the Philippians, we read these words, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." That's Matthew 6:25. And the rest of the chapter of chapter 6 is all about worry. Mm-hmm. And he says, why worry about food? Why worry about what you're going to put on your body? Why worry about all of those things? Consider, and he talks about birds, and he talks about flowers, and how God himself cares for these very beings and clothes them in glory and splendor. Mm-hmm. He said if he does that with the birds and the flowers of the field, how much more will he care for those whom are his children? And that's the whole story. And then at the end of it, we see this again, do not be anxious. He repeats that three times, do not be anxious. And then in verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So anxiety is an emotion that really relates to the future.
Yes.
It's future thinking. So I'm worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm worried about what's going to happen to me a week from now, maybe a month from now, maybe a year from now. And so we worry about all of those things. And what Jesus is saying is that you are compounding the troubles of today. You can only live today physically.
Yes.
I can't be in today and tomorrow at the same time, but I can with my mind. I can be thinking about what's going on today, and I can use a multiplier effect in my mind and project that out, and it's going to be much worse for me tomorrow, much worse for me the next day. And whenever I do that, I complicate today. My emotions can't handle me thinking about what might happen in the future. Yeah. That's where those anxious feelings start to bubble up inside of us today. So what's the story here? What's the takeaway? Live one day at a time. That's the takeaway. All you can do is trust the Lord with what's in front of you. And the only thing that's in front of you is right now, today. So that's the message. So what are you worried about today? what has entered into your mind and entered into your heart that you are anxious about it. You're disturbed about what might happen tomorrow. Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast called Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742. Now, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio, and I'll just tell you one of the things that I've been anxious about in the past that God has taught me to live one day at a time is the financial position of this ministry. I used to project quite a bit out into the future, and you know, what's this going to be like? Are we going to have to shut the doors? Are we going to be able to continue? Are we going to be able to keep the staff that we have? I've thought about all of those sort of things, and I tell you, it messes up my today. And here's what I've learned is that every day God shows his provision in just unique ways, in creative ways, in innovative ways. And when I just take a look at what's happening today, I can step back and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. And that keeps me from being disturbed about what may happen tomorrow. So that's just my own confession about the finances of this ministry. Well, I've been in this ministry for a long, long time. And when I first started, I had to raise my own support. So I would go out and ask people to help me in this ministry, and their gifts would pay for my salary. And boy, the people I thought would give didn't give. The people I didn't even know, they just came out of the woodwork and started supporting. And I said, wow, that's how God does this. And that's exactly how he provides. Mm-hmm. He loves us. He's going to take care of us. And that means we can just step back and say thank you. That is the cure to anxiety. That is the cure to future thinking. That is the cure to worry, is to be able to sit here today and say thank you to the Lord for what he is doing, and he's doing something.
Yes.
What he is doing right now. So that's where we want you to be. We want you to experience that peace. So if there are things that are troubling you, call right now, 844-322-2742. Another reason that I've been able to be at peace as far as finances are concerned is because of the wonderful financial team that God has raised up for Basic Gospel. We have people all over this country, in Canada, and literally all over the world that support what God is doing through this ministry called Basic Gospel, and we are so appreciative. We are coming up to our fiscal year end. That's June 30th, and we just know that God is going to do his great work in the hearts of so many people and to engage them in the grace of giving so that this word can go out. And so if you would like to be a partner in the gospel with Basic Gospel, we would love to co-labor with you. And all the information on how to be a part of Basic Gospel through your financial gifts is available at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click on the donate button, and you can follow all the instructions. You can give a one-time gift to help us now, or you can become a ministry partner. And we would certainly love for you to become a ministry partner. And this particular month, we have a great resource that we want to put in your hands. It's the Basic Gospel Hear It, Believe It, Live It journal. Now, I use this journal quite extensively for book projects. So the next book that I want to write is on marriage, and I'm already jotting down ideas for what needs to go in this book. But this is a great resource. It's a tool that we want to put in your hands. It's our gift to say thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. So be sure and request your copy when you go online and give to Basic Gospel. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. 844-322-2742 is the number. If you have a question, please call us. We would love to hear from you. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia, our great affiliate, WDWD, and talk to Mrs. Glaze. You're on the line.
Oh, yes. Hey, how are you all doing?
We're doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I was calling to ask a question about a statement that the Apostle Paul made, and I take the answer off the air. When he said that I wish that some of you were like me, did that mean marriage or just in Christ or whatever? And like I said, I'll hang up and take the answer. And thanks again for taking my call.
Well, you are so welcome, yes. And thanks for asking that question. And you're referring to some statements out of his letter to the Corinthians?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay, so he's talking about marriage in that particular chapter, chapter 7. And he's saying, whatever state you're in, be content with that. Don't try to change your status in hopes that that's going to make you more happy or more content in life. You know, there's lots of people that are just longing and wishing and just, if I don't get married, I'm not going to be happy in life. And then they get married and they find out that marriage is not you know, that end all that they were looking for. It's only in Christ can we find our ultimate contentment. Only in Christ can we find the deepest joy of a human heart. And when we find contentment in Christ, that literally frees us to serve our fellow human beings. And especially in a marriage relationship, we can serve that one individual person in a very unique way, unlike the way we would serve anyone else. And so he's saying, basically, find your contentment in Christ.
Yes.
And so when he says, I want you to imitate me, that's basically what he's referring to. He was a person that was content, whom was content in Jesus. And that contentment can keep you from a lot of bad decisions. I know as far as divorce and remarriage, we get that question all the time. Am I free to get remarried if I divorce? Well, you have freedom, but is it the wise thing? Why would you be doing such a thing? And for many people, it's because I just wouldn't be happy if I was alone. Well, what you're saying is I'm not content in Christ.
Yeah.
So because you're not content in Christ, you're making yourself vulnerable to some unwise decisions and things that you might regret down the road. So find your contentment in Christ. And once you find your contentment in Christ, then I think the wisdom of God will direct you in decisions moving forward. Well, Mrs. Glaze, thank you so much for your call. We certainly appreciate it. We hope that's helpful to you.
Yeah, that it's an interesting aspect about Paul's marital relationship or status as a Pharisee when he was, you know, doing his thing and being at the top of the class. The vast majority of Pharisees were married. And so when he became a Christian, when he became a Christ follower, there is a better than even chance that if he was married, that his wife divorced him because he was now an unbeliever, according to her, if she was a true believer. So he may have experienced great pain in his marital relationship. We don't know because it doesn't say, but the historical record seems to indicate that Pharisees were married. And if he had been through this, I mean, she may have even held a funeral for him because he was dead to her. He wasn't saying, you know, this is such an easy thing for me to be single. What he is saying most definitely is the point you're making. I am content. I have learned to be content.
Right. your relationship with Christ is everything.
Is everything.
And it shapes and forms every other aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. So we're in a very unique position as believers in Christ.
Yeah.
We are truly connected to truth. We're connected to the very love of God. We've experienced the grace of God. We know what forgiveness is. And so those are the things that bring us contentment. Those are the things that are unshakable, unmovable in our life. And as we take our stand in this gospel, then we are free to begin loving others as
yes.
God in Christ has loved us. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. I know we have some email questions
yes.
we want to get to.
Yes. This comes from a Jewish person who has been considering Christianity. And there's a block here, and I understand why. If this person accepts Jesus, and it turns out that Jesus isn't the Messiah, well, then this person would be guilty of blasphemy. He would be cursed. How is he supposed to deal with the reality or unreality of who Jesus is?
Well, he's in the same boat we're all in.
Absolutely.
You know, there were just a certain group of people that were eyewitnesses to the very life of Jesus, whom were with him from his baptism mm-hmm. all the way through to his resurrection and following.
Yeah.
So there was a small group that witnessed this life and participated in that life mm-hmm. as followers and encountered the resurrected Jesus. And it's upon their testimony that our faith rests.
Yes.
So they're the ones that say this actually happened, that Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth. He started his ministry around the Sea of Galilee. He made his way down to Jerusalem. He was handed over to Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. And then on the third day, he arose. And so it's based on those eyewitness accounts that we put our faith in the risen Christ, that we have some sense that, yes, indeed, these events took place. They're not fabricated. They're not a made-up story. They actually happened in history. And because they have happened in history, then they have profound implications on each and every one of us. So we have to rest on what these apostles wrote about Jesus and the fact that they were moved by the Holy Spirit to take the things of Jesus and make them known to us. Now, as far as Jesus Christ himself, he said a lot of things that force us to either believe that he truly is the Son of God or to reject him just categorically.
Yes, there's no middle ground.
There's no middle ground with Jesus, for example, and this would certainly bear witness to this gentleman as a Jewish person. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, this was a very significant statement because I am was the very name God used for himself mm-hmm. when he had that encounter with Moses in the burning bush. And he says, I want you to go and I want you to lead my people out of Egypt into the promised land. And he says, well, what if they ask me who sent me? Then God said, well, you are to tell them I am who I am has sent you. And then he goes on to say, that's my name, I am. And we would know that as Yahweh. And it was a name that was so sacred to the Jewish people that they would not pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
They would not speak it. And they wouldn't even write it. Even today in the English language, you'll see G-D. And that's the sacredness of this holy name of God himself.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus claimed that name. He said, I am. That's my name as well. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the gate. I am the shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. All of these things Jesus claimed about himself.
Yeah.
And all of those were a claim to deity, a claim to be one with God the Father. He even said, I and the Father are one. Now, these were blasphemous words to the Jewish people of the day. And they picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because that was the punishment for a blasphemer. So they were saying, you are guilty of this. And so they picked up stones to stone him. But the record shows that he was declared to be the Son of God in majesty and power by being raised back to life.
Yes.
So the very resurrection of Jesus is the stamp that all the things that he said about himself are indeed true. So any person, whether Jewish in background or Gentile in background, has to come to the point and examine the claims of Jesus and say, either Jesus is speaking the truth, or he is an out-and-out liar, or he is a crazed maniac. There
yeah.
are no other options. Mm-hmm. And I think it's safe to say that based on kind of the testimony of men and women throughout human history, that the claims of Jesus are indeed true because of the transformed lives he has brought into being. So I don't think if you say, I'm going to receive Jesus as my Messiah, as my Lord, as my Savior, you will not be disappointed.
Not at all.
Not be disappointed at all. Now, if it's all untrue, then we're still dead in our sins and without hope.
Yeah.
But the fact that Jesus did raise from the dead, the fact that Jesus' claims about himself are true, gives substance to our faith and gives us a hope that is unshakable and unmovable.
Yeah.
Knowing that when we die, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yeah, it's even interesting, and the point needs to be made in this Jewish context. If Jesus isn't who he claimed to be, if he wasn't killed and resurrected and ascended and then sent the Holy Spirit, then not even Jews have hope.
Right.
Because there's no salvation in Moses. Moses pointed forward to the Messiah. Jesus is that Messiah.
Right.
It's the only way it can work.
Right. Matter of fact, Moses said to the people of the day, you know, I'm a prophet. I'm delivering you the words of God. I'm telling you what God wants for us. But there is going to come somebody that is going to arise like me. But he's the real prophet.
Yes.
And you'll do good to listen to him. Why? Because he has the words of eternal life. And that's what this is all about. And it really circles us right back to our opening today. We talked about don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about what you will eat or the clothes that you will wear. Why? Because you have a God that cares for you. And this God has expressed himself, has manifested himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So knowing who Jesus is, knowing that he is the great I am, and that he himself will meet every need of the human heart, enables us to relax day to day and to offer up the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to him. So knowing who Jesus is, that question, who do you say that I am, is so significant when it comes to the practical, everyday matters of life. Yes. If I truly believe that he is God, that he loves for me, that he cares for me, then I can relax and enjoy every moment with him, whether it's an anxious time or one of the best times in life. It's all about Jesus in us, our hope of glory. Well, that's our radio broadcast for today. Thank you so much for being a part of it. We'll be back tomorrow with another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll hope you'll join us at that particular time. For those who would like to join us as a financial partner, all that information is at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. We'll see you tomorrow.